Welcome to another broadcast of Project Urantia on the Artist First World Radio Network. A growing number of people are coming to the realization that just perhaps celestial beings have been influencing the history of our planet all along. One person, in my humble opinion, who knows just about as much as anybody can know, it's Michael in Maui. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Z-Man.
You know, I'm not insinuating that you know everything, because you just told Tony you have no idea what's going to happen on the summer solstice. So I don't want to put too much pressure on you, my friend. You know, you're a regular guy, too. I had just the briefest of moments to talk to Michael off air before we got going tonight. And it's some things have been happening. Where do you want to start tonight?
Oh, it's in our geosphere, in our planetary aspect of our, you know, our where we stand on terra firma here is not so terra firma. Actually, it's shaking up a bit. You know, we've gotten some strange ones, actually, earthquakes that haven't hit for, you know, hundreds of years, hit in Italy. And that was near Bologna, but also others have been following suit, you know, in areas like Japan also has found that, and Bulgaria, of all places. These earthquakes are approximately nearly the same magnitude, about 6. If you average them out together, you're just running around there. So pretty strong stuff. This ties into some aspects that I believe are happening. It's from my perspective of adding in some of the celestial knowledge into the mix of what actually makes our planet tick. We have a planet which is very alive. It has a active internal core producing a magnetic field, a geomagnetic field, our Earth magnetic field, as a strange anomalous pattern right now, and an activity which is possibly and probably causing a lot of the movement around our tectonic plates which are, you know, which end up causing earthquakes. Now, one of the, you know, the widely proposed concepts of what makes our tectonic plates move is a very basic concept of physics of having a convection type current, you know, heating type of a current. But what would change it or bring it into a more lively activity, causing it, you know, our planet to internally heat up, or at least the convection current start to move a little bit more quickly, placing pressure on our continents to move, you know, the major plates, pressures and stretching, are indeed multiple in their cause and, you know, effect. So we see the sun's activity, and we see, of course, what we are, you know, I'm always looking at is to look at see if an extraplanetary effect would be there. In other words, is there something here that is giving the extra kick, you might say, into the mix of what is causing all of this additional earthquakes that have not happened for hundreds of years are just happening, and these are all around the world, and also the volcanic eruptions, and of course some interesting moves in the weather patterns, which seems to be having their own way right now. I received idea of magnetostriction. Magnetostriction, the you know, they sometimes pop these messages of actual words into my head, and I hear it, and I go, well, come on, what do you want me to, you know, magnetostriction? Magnetostriction is well known. I mean, you know, in Transformers, have you ever walked past a transformer on a pole, electrical pole?
Oh yeah,
and heard it buzzing away.
We used to have a huge one right outside the door of the radio station. It was probably 100 years old, and it buzzed like heck.
It buzzes a lot, huh?
Yes, it used to. They've since replaced it, but about the first 10 years, it was right outside the door.
Yeah, well, if it's having a lot of magnetostriction, the hysteresis currents move around, and the change in polarity happening causes some physical effects. Some of these, and definitely we can hear in like transformers and things, these buzzing noises, and some of them can become subaudible. And our planet is right now, because of the audible noises that are happening, going through magnetostriction. But the idea of magnetostriction is that there's a change. It's got to be a change. The change in magnetic flux, magnetic direction, magnetic energy. These things can be changed through movement of electron flow, as well as magnetic interference or magnetic pressures of different sorts. And those things combined are giving way to some of these things. An interesting factor that has come about in my observation of people is that there are a lot of people today who are changing their tune. I'm not sure if it's got anything to do with the field effect of our planet, but their idea is that life is short, and they want to make their life count versus, you know, getting everything and then piling everything around themselves in terms of material wealth or pleasure and fun or fame or fortune. All of this passing stuff seems that many have come to a realization that there is a lot more to life than our present physical, you know, 50, 100 years, someplace in between that, in a short period of time. And that the reality of it all is that our progress moves beyond that. And I think that our consciousness is also being adjusted in this time. And our planet is headed toward, you know, change, and change will be tough, but some people are changing toward the good versus the evil, which is an amazing thing.
Or they're pretending to, and they're going to pull a sneak attack on us at the very last
minute. Yeah, you know, that's exactly another factor, because, you know, would be very strange, so some of these real about faces, real turning arounds. But, of course, we see, we'll have to watch that in the great sphere of national, cultural things which are extremely hard to change. But our present individual mind and our composite collective mind of our planet can be changed, because it's done on an individual basis. But those that have a type of mind built on tradition and culture, those things take a longer time. Even those that are attuned to, let's say, you know, the way of thinking in terms of religious traditions, those things are extremely hard to turn.
I think it's natural for human beings, when they start to ponder their existence, to realize how truly insignificant any one life can be, or can feel anyway. It's not, no life is insignificant, but to the person living it, sometimes they can feel that they are very insignificant. And you look back at civilizations, you know, take the Egyptians, take the Syrians. We know there are many, many entire civilizations that were pretty aware that they existed, and we couldn't name you a single person that existed in that whole civilization. They were the greatest at ever at this or that, and we don't know any of their names. We don't know any of their histories. You know, it seems like, well, maybe with this digital age, as long as magnetism hangs around, maybe thousands and millions of years they'll be able to recall us or something. But I don't know. To try to leave your mark on history, it just seems a bit futile, does it not?
Well, in a sense, that would be history that is written, you know, through periods of warring and conflict, and generally written by the victor. So you have only one perspective of history many times. And this is something that, as by the Celestials themselves, look at, you know, as the problem of our collective understanding of ourselves, because we have, you know, sometimes a distorted, in fact, a lot of times a distorted look into our histories. You know, the oldest histories, like histories within the Bible, these things are getting a tough time to be proven, and many of them have been by the Celestials retold in their truer sense, and given a real perspective on really what happened. And you see, wow, these priests really did want to manipulate, you know, the story, because of how, I guess, they felt they wanted to have, I guess, you might say, a monopoly maybe on God, and everyone else wasn't. You know, you have what chosen people and everyone else wasn't. And you kind of write down your history to say how God stood on that side or our side. And, you know, but yes, definitely there can be and has been some in which the Most Highs have allowed themselves, not allowed certain battles to move in certain directions. But ultimately, it's our free will that remains sacred to them, actually, not to monkey with our consciousness in terms of us losing our will and becoming programmed robots. That's exactly the opposite of the direction of our planetary consciousness. Yet, when I look at some of these, wow, you know, these histories that are written in the Bible and understand them as how they really were, really happened, it's interesting, because some really goes back down to those in fact, the book of Revelation has a curse at the end, because it was so well known. You know, John, the beloved who wrote the down, he stuck at Patmos Island because it was his basic ending job, was to get that message out there. He had to put a curse at the end so people wouldn't try to change it the way they wanted it to go. Yeah, even as convoluted as it may have been in terms of not necessarily history, but as in terms of just writing down what was told to be written down, and not having future priests or theologians rewrite it in terms of their own way of understanding, a way of wanting things to be understood.
Yeah, because that's never happened before.
Yeah, and even with that, even with that curse, I believe there's a lot of, you know, stuff that may have happened in a while back. Yet, when you look at a lot of what it points out, it does point out a time period that we seem to be standing in right now.
And, of course, over the centuries, there's been people who've been absolutely positively sure they knew exactly when everything was going to hit the fan, and every one of those people so far has been wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
100% of them have been dead wrong. But we'll see. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool in some way to be the last old generation. I don't want to see humanity evaporate or go away, but you know, if there has to be a last generation right before the awakening, then, hey, I'm all for that. Let's do it now. I'm glad to be here at this time.
Yeah. Well, there's, as far as a change of way of doing things, also had a little hint of what might be. Again, our twin sisters, the Asian twin sisters, you know, are, they appeared again to me, and in this vision, they appeared only after I was staring at this pile of gold chains. Didn't know how big the chains were, but they were gold, and yeah, they were relatively large linked chains, and were laid down on a sand dune. Huge chains. I mean, you would drag those things, a ton of chains. Well, anyway, I just looked at them and said, okay, whatever. You know, it's chains and sand, and see what happens. And then pops these twins again, the twin Asian ones that, you know, were possibly the North and South Korean country. But I looked at that. Their clothes were different this time. They weren't so styled in the Korean and Chinese fashion. More like toward the someplace in between. And also have a lot of hint toward the Japanese kimonos. Bright, very nice looking. What had happened was they went and they picked up a part of it and started to drag part of these chains with them. And as they began to walk with the chains, they entered a dark corridor, which looked like they were walking between two huge black pipes which, to their physics, if they were, you know, 5 feet tall, these pipes would have diameters maybe three times their height. I don't know, big. Could be the bottom of a ship or what I thought was pipes. And then, because of their color, I said, oh, okay, it's known, you know, China is buying oil from Russia, but they're using the renminbi, the yuan in Chinese, and exchanging that between Russia and there, away from the, you know, the oil dollar. They're not using the oil dollar, and they're first to do that. But in this condition, looked at that and said, okay, this represents perhaps Asia, the Asian girls buying oil with gold. And, well, then, because it had that slight Japanese look, I said, could the Japanese be just trying to sniff this out and get some of that oil with gold, because there are all their nuclear power plants are turned off? Well, this really changed changed the picture of the dollar worldwide in terms of how it's going to be used, and no longer as, you know, the oil dollar. And things will start to change. So I believe the celestials are pointing, in a sense, that there will be a change in that area in the Asian side. Already India is probably, I don't know how many times they've done it, but they've at least worked up a deal with Iran to buy oil with gold. So people are finding ways to work around the known method of buying oil in the world market.
Well, and right before the broadcast, the CBS News top story was, looks like Greece might pull out of the EU, and that would be very bad for, what, all those bankers that bet on them again. A bunch of them guys are going to go tanking, and that's going to, could cause, I don't want to say gonna, because it's possible it won't, but that's not very good news, and the stock market reacted poorly and will probably plunge first thing tomorrow morning.
Yeah, because they've reacted heavily, not necessarily on the economy in the United States or the rest of the world, but looking at the euro as a predictor of fortunes of currency worldwide, the fiat currency that's just based on, you know, the power of the organizing energy, the European common, European whatever market that works with Europe, you know, where first thing, you know, you have these weaker countries pulling out, and then the unifying factor of its strength continually gets reduced. till it no, it becomes becomes worthless, essentially not a good currency. Now, the dollar looks to be in alignment, as perhaps there are a lot of countries in the Asian side who are figuring ways to get around getting their energy needs settled with materials such as, you know, gold, these types of commodity outside of currency, the, you know, whatever it may be.
Well, wouldn't that be a kicker for the summer to watch what happens to the EU as things melt down? Or do we all live in interesting times? Yes, we do.
Yeah, well, you know, people in Greek, if you're, you know, living there in Greek, take what you can and, you know, convert it at least to something real. Yeah, at least you have something to work with. And what will people usually resolve? They'll go get gold or silver, you know, as something to exchange.
Well, they were already reporting that there's been $1 billion removed from depositors at Greek banks last week. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow, everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're gonna, well, and once that happens, and then, you know, once they run out of money and there's depositors show up to get money and there isn't any, uh-oh, then what?
Then you have a lot of riots, of course.
I mean, we all know that the amount of paper and coin money that exists that you can actually stuff in your mattress is like, what, 1/1,000,000,000% No, I'm exaggerating, of course.
Yeah.
But it's a really, really small amount. 2-5% of all the money is electronic. So there's just not enough cash for everybody to stuff in their mattress in the world if you came down to it. I mean, if they wanted all of your money out of a bank. Well, and then again, we could just print more money, and then it would be like Germany. It'd be cheaper to burn the money than buy wood to burn.
Well, you know, that's something that I don't think is a reality, because it's just too well known. I think there will be other forces that will bring about change that are interesting, because... take for example our United States welfare system. That's one of the most problematic systems around, and yet, you know, they'll get their check. And interestingly enough, there's a huge loophole in the IRS, and they're, you know, like giving tax credits to foreign, you know, people on the for child care, and some people are walking away, crediting that they have their nieces and nephews and whatever, and, you know, and it's unbelievable. Some people have actually gotten tax credits in tens of thousands of dollars, you know, so.
People cheat, yeah.
They cheat all the time
on their taxes.
Yeah, and these are not U.S. citizens, but immigrant types that are not U.S. citizens that are playing the tax, because all of you got to fill out taxes. And they found a loophole, and it's causing literally billions of dollars to be manufactured just to fill those guys' tax credits. And it's interesting, because that's a way of supporting, you know, a good amount of it goes out of the United States, because it goes to support, you know, their families and things like Mexico or someplace. These kinds of things. And basically what it tells me when I see that, and how, okay, we'll just, you know, it's like no one really, they all, people know about it. They're not like going crazy about it. It's, well, it's something they just can do and pay. So the little people sort of like will become like serfs, I guess. I don't know. Essentially keeping them down. But the real productive power, that would hit, that inflation that would hit everyone and cause everything to go worthless, is kept at bay by, our own printing presses in a special way. Doesn't not directly feeding into inflate the money, but send the money in strange ways back to the people to keep things down, keep things in control, in a sense.
Well, on a lighter note, I saw a statistic yesterday that said the average CEO take-home pay is now 378 times the average pay of a worker. So think about that, workers. When you go into work and you look up in the top of that tower where your CEO is, remember, you would have to work 378 years to earn what that guy's earning this year. Okay, just want to keep that in perspective. And that's a sustainable system right there. Okay, let's go to some emails.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, dear Michael, what gives with all of the ancient alien TV shows, ancient astronaut theories, and internet radio shows dedicated to UFOs? Was this the intention of the Celestials to mass educate everyone? Thanks, Mr. TK.
It seems to be a way of helping to, perhaps mass educate us. But again, I point to this strange phenomena of people changing their attitudes, their mindset, and the way of doing things. What really matters in life? And it's like, what is this tremendous change that is going on in our collective consciousness? And it could be also that when you still have that economic engine looking at it, and it's popular. And of course, when it's popular, people want to, it's easier to get advertising and things like that on, and it feeds on itself. And because the collective interest is in looking toward the heavens as the answer, whether there be, all these concepts of gods and things being all ancient aliens and stuff, something more popular. That is, very, very close to the truth as far as what's happening in terms of at least bringing our consciousness back toward the fact that we are not alone. We're not, we're at least gotten away from the idea that the whole universe revolves around our little planet. And for the most part, most of us are well-educated enough to at least understand that that is not the case. And that now we're probably being made ready for the factor that the Celestials themselves have been nurturing our planet along and have, in effect, had to deal with a ill, perhaps evil, implanted into our culture and consciousness, and let the results play out, while at the same time turning the results, or not necessarily results, our consciousness around toward, hey, wait a minute, what really matters? Is it all for the globalists? So it's all for the wealth of prosperity of a few, or is it really about the entire planet being nurtured along? And more you see two sides of the coin in these ancient alien concepts, where you're not really sure in terms of who these guys are. You kind of wonder if they're good or evil or neutral or whatever, and ends up, again, at least bringing our consciousness up to be able to, make some common sense determinations, which of course would come out. If they were evil, they would have long cooked us and ate us for lunch. And that's not happened.
We're snacklies for the aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you were thinking our energies were, you know, some kind of spiritual energy that we develop and they consume, such a thing would be very prevalent and easy to spot out. Actually, it looks more like the uplift of our planet had a different course, a different desire. And that's pretty much what the celestials realized, that if we push the envelope, like pushing the force on the, you know, pushing the engine at full throttle, it'll eventually blow up and have to go through repair and, you know, be a, basically that's what had happened because of that concept of the short life and the short visionary concept as a result, giving people, you know, that short-term thinking that ends up pushing the envelope, but not necessarily bringing out all the good. It ends up pushing everything to higher levels of need and not so much the well-planned government that was initially designed.
We have quite a few emails. We'll get to all of them. I believe these a couple here are from actually during the week. They must have been listening to last week's show. Dear Michael, please talk about the human language becoming visual 3D words. I'm sorry, visual 3D words becoming flesh in 2012. That's from Saul.
Well, that's an interesting concept because if we were to ignore the idea of words, communication, becoming just simply as words, nothing would manifest in terms of reality. And initially, words spoken by the powerful ones, leaders, dictating commands, ended up molding the picture of society, whether it be the structure of a building, you know, design, these concepts of communication and words. And but the biblical concept of the word or the actual communique goes back to a very high level of instruction, one that is able to speak or command to reality and make into reality what wasn't, or from the void to bring reality. And that's why the concept of the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, a biblical concept. And Word is the highest level of communication that could be given to a deity because of the ability to speak to nothingness or something and make change or become something else. Now, as far as actually seeing this type of dimensional change in terms of bringing into reality through what is a spoken word, it will not happen without the addition, the Morantia dimension, in which what we do speak will become more dynamic, more alive, and one in which patterns itself very similarly to how the whole universe was patterned. And the concept of communication from the base level, deity level, toward the universe creation, you know, and said, and he spoke and said, let there be light. That idea of speaking into nothingness and instructing it goes to much more than just vibrating our vocal cords. It's a much higher level of communication, one in which goes down to the level of even the finest harmony that causes our reality to vibrate. We're learning right now that the then our reality, of course, is made up essentially of oscillations and vibrations that give reality or dimension into some of all of that which we are right now. And that is something that we're going to end up becoming more astute and aware of, but not so much in terms of, you know, the base idea of speaking and that it would become, you know, different kind of, I don't know, just speaking into reality something. It's a much more interesting
if atoms quit moving, which is my understanding of what happens when you reach absolute zero, I don't know that we exactly, physics understands exactly what happens at that point, but matter ceases to exist as far as I understand what they're telling me. And so if someone yells down a well or into a tunnel, that echoes for a long time. And, gee, didn't the Bell and Howell engineers back in the 60s, they thought they were intercepting Russian nuclear tests, and what they were really hearing was the background sound of the Big Bang. The echoes of the Big Bang, you know, billions of years after it happened, they're still out there. Which, by the way, I got to mention, we had a previous emailer talking about all the new shows that are out about, you know, alien encounters, the galaxy, so forth. I watched the program. I thought there was no sound in space. And I watched a program last week that discounts that idea. It says there are molecules out there. They're very far apart, but there is sound in space. Now, you can't poke your head out the window and scream, but maybe they're talking, you know, help me with this. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, that is true. And space, I mean, back to the point in which I received a strong, you know, correction. Space is not empty. And that is perhaps one of the most important things we've got to consider in terms of looking at our reality. Though you might say, particles are very far apart, but intermixed between or intertwined within our energies and forces and fields of energy that are related to each other, even in long distances of what seems to be open space. So in those areas, and when you consider that, again, going back to vibration, which has a lot to do with time, that is, they're very, very interconnected. And that's what I was trying to say in the beginning of the show when we were talking about the strangeness of some energetics that are perturbing our magnetic field and perhaps even energizing our planet's movement and our consciousness. And this is very, very interesting. As, you know, this year seems to be becoming a very interesting year.
Michael, last night on the program I was watching, it was called UFO Discoveries or something. They had some great, great video of night vision video of these craft way up in the atmosphere. One of them was really, really, really close to what I saw last summer while laying on the deck looking up with my binoculars. Same shape, same movement. It was, okay, it was green and white because they were using night vision, but it was almost dead on it. Then they showed the other video, which I first thought was animation. They kept showing it over and over again. Apparently it was the actual video of the same thing, and I realized this when we were sitting on the deck. You guys can go back and listen to this previous show last summer, sitting on the Emerald Isle. About 23 of us all at once saw this object out in the sky on Tuesday, and we saw the same thing on Thursday. And it looked a lot like what they showed on TV last night. So one was dead on it, one was pretty close to it. You know, it's when you're sitting there on your couch going, "Dadgummit, I saw that thing." You know, it's I'm either crazy or I saw the same thing they're showing me on TV. It's I don't know, it's exciting and unsettling at the same time.
Well, yeah, it's, and what is an interesting factor that that I look at is that how they sent me a message of how they are going to continue that program of continually exposing themselves more and more and more and more until it becomes undeniable. I mean, just undeniable. And it could very well be that it has to do with also the number of our own shows, television shows that are you know, helping to bring about this awakening. When it finally comes to a point where, that stuff with UFOs, oh yeah, you know, it becomes, then you'll see the media begin to unrestrained coverage of events, probably, because it won't be a big deal that they shouldn't be talking about.
Okay, we got a bunch of emails. Let's try to squeeze these guys in. Dear Michael, have you been noticing an increase in the emergency broadcast system? I sure have, and that's from Skyraker.
In the emergency broadcast system, you mean in terms of the tests or what they've done?
You know, I think he is. I'm on Time Warner Cable in northeastern Ohio, and they, you know, sometimes they'll run them back to back to back. Now, this is at 3 o'clock in the morning, but yeah, you know, don't they supposed to do it like once a week? So I don't know. Mick, they could have been having trouble at that particular location, but I believe that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, well, interestingly, the emergency broadcast system was initially tied into the design of the new television, digital television theme. And since the broadcasts are not being received by as many people, it turned out that it's not as effective. So they've tied in with other providers, cable providers, which are not broadcast in terms of radio RF broadcast types, and you just receive the signal off the air. These things are going through a lot of conversion right now. Yeah, I believe that is true. There is more activity in terms of the conversion levels that are going on. And they are not sure exactly what they tend to do with it.
Dear Michael, Revelations chapter 20, verse 12. Why is this in the Bible?
20, verse 12. Offhand, I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, but you were the minister. Come on, I'm just the guy in the pew. Talk about putting you on the spot. Man.
Putting me on the spot. Yeah, I'm not one of those that actually memorized the whole Bible. But
we'll get back to you on that when they're Xochitl. Michael, please ask the Celestials on Venus, on the Venus transits, June 5th, December 21st, 2012, and the Olmec Izapian Mayan Mushroom Stones religion. Oh, dude, I think this guy's on Mushroom Stones. Does any of that make sense to you?
Oh, I'm not into that side of, peering into knowledge, no.
What is the Venus transits?
It's astrological, and I'm not an astrologer.
Okay. Jim Borth, thank you, Jim, because I'm a complete imbecile. Jim, I wanted to point out that Riley promised us a date that I evidently missed when I was listening to his show at 2X, twice the speed. Riley says the new danger date is the end of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good for business, I suppose, eh? Well, if Bigfoot Central goes away when we discover Bigfoot, there's no need for the search program anymore. I'm not serious about that. Riley, I didn't mean anything by that. Don't come burn my house down. But he writes a whole bunch of stuff here that we don't have time. I will save some of this for next time. But let me read just point number three from Jim. And Jim, I will read this on next show. Riley has given us two dates, 2012 and 2026. Nancy Leader dares not mention any kind of a timetable for the shift other than to specify what will happen in the last trimester before the shift. So as listeners are rightly doing, they're trying to match up the comments of Nancy and Riley and you and everyone else that is out there to see where we're going. I'll tell you what, there are 5 points that Jim makes on that one. We will come back to it on the next show when we have more time. We're down to like 7 minutes left in the broadcast. Dear Michael, please speak on your encounter with the alien females that were sent to your room on the mothership. Were they the same sexual beings as Riley Martin attacked? Thank you, Pascal. I'm sorry, Pascal.
Actually, I was. They weren't sent to my room. I was told to go into a room, which ended up being like going through a. The door seemed a little strange because you open the door, passage open, and you kind of just jumped in. It's sort of like getting into a capsule. And when you got into that space, that capsule, she was in there. And it was one big, you might say, bed, one big soft surface. And she's sitting there. And she was nude. She had... just the same way Riley describes her, and I was at the point of still trying to find out what was this whole place all about, and they put me with her, and she didn't talk, she didn't. I tried to speak with her for a bit. Again, she wouldn't talk. Sort of jumped around a little bit, trying to play, and then I turned around, and she, I remember jumping on my back, and I said, "Oh, you want to wrestle?" So I turned around, and I did a wrestling move called a switch, and she looked at me like, "I don't think that was supposed to happen," and she was a little bit surprised. I think she it was more supposed to have turned into a sexual encounter, but it turned into a playful wrestling match. And then the other one came in. She was not colored in with those spots all over. It was looked Caucasian, and she wasn't nude. She had a very clear veil type clothes on. Could clearly see her body through it, but she came in, and she wasn't looking toward the same mode. But I asked her the same questions, and finally they got kind of like, okay, and they left, and then I left, and both left the space, and then my graduate guide came in and said, okay, you can leave now, and then that's what happened, so I left. So there was no, interestingly, they seem not to be able to talk. Yeah.
Ever think there's kind of like some weird alien voyeurism going on there or something? Like, you know, what the hell is this about, man? You know, gosh, you're messing with my mind the way it is. And then this, what?
Yeah. It was early in my discovery. You know, they're taking me through stages trying to find what level of... what level I guess I was at, and I guess I progressed all the way until I reached from that base level of becoming, you know, basically a human being, and you know, I was only what 19 at the time, and going from that level all the way to finally meeting the Rondadeck Most High. Rondadeck Most High observers are indeed really been missed. Taken for God many times, and I went from, you know, perhaps a sexual encounter supposedly that never panned out to trying to find out, because my desire was to find out really a much more in terms of purpose, you know.
You're on some alien porn site now.
Yeah.
Yeah, muted alien meets future minister.
Yeah.
Now that's all right. We've got we're down to just our last couple of minutes. Excuse me. There is we probably have another 10 questions, which we will move to the front of the line. Thank you guys for sending it in. Something I'd like to throw out here. We won't have time to answer it, but a couple of the broadcasts I was watching recently talked about, these are things that are new to me, such as the moon is constantly orbiting away from the Earth. I guess I did know that, but didn't realize, put it, the two pieces together. So over time, the moon is slowly spinning away from us, and eventually it will just fling off into outer space, right? Is that what the current science is telling us these days?
Well, yes. That's what it, at one time, they believed that the moon was much, much closer.
Right. So it's slowly moving away. Okay. I had several points I wanted to bring up. This is only one of them. And the others were about the rings of Saturn. Why are they flat? Why don't all the rocks fall in? If the rings of Saturn were created by an entire planet falling into the gravitational pull, I mean, where a whole planet got brought into the Saturn in which it broke up, then how can these little tiny pieces still be out there billions of years later? Why haven't they fallen in? You know what I mean? If you can take a quadrillion-ton planet and pull it in with your gravitational pull, then how come those little tiny pebble-sized ones haven't fallen in either over all these billions of years? Maybe, first of all, maybe it hasn't been billions of years, but I just wanted to talk about gravity. Of course, we're going to have to push that off into the next program because we have about 2.5 minutes left. So
quickly, the magnetic field of Saturn is more of a toroid, a donut, than we have a dipolar magnetic field. So it tends to create that planar type of...
More effect, of a disc-shaped...
Lining up of, yeah. Of, yeah.
Well, that makes sense, you know, if it is... Right, but again, if it was the awesome gravitational pull of the of Saturn that brought an entire Earth-sized planet into its grasp... Then how can these little snowflake-sized things still be out there?
Mm-hmm.
Makes you kind of go, hum, but we're going to have to put that off till next week's show. Folks, I want to always make sure I save time to say the following words on these broadcasts. That Michael does this show not for money. We do not pay him. I don't think you guys do out there unless you're secretly sending him money, and he has nothing to sell. Michael does this because he told his alien friends that he would do this. And on behalf of all of our listeners who tune in each week, and this show averages over 90,000, almost 100,000 a week. Thank you, Michael, for all the time you've given us and the future time you will be giving us, and I hope it stays as exciting as it has all these years.
I sure hope and it's a continuous stream of knowledge and awakening that continues to, you know, leak into these talks from the Celestials who want to be a part of it.
Well, we got dozens of questions already ready to go for next week. Michael, thank you so much. I hope it stays wonderful out there. Catch a big fish for us. And we'll catch you all next week. Artie Spirit of Woodstock. I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to say Woodstock. Actually, Michael Lang's visiting with Artie. Those are the two guys who are actually hanging out right now. And don't sue me for using the word Woodstock, Michael. I will take it out of the edit. That's coming up after the CBS News. Thank you, Michael. We'll see you next week, bro.
Okay, aloha.